today's date is January 4th, 2025. First Sabbath of the year. The beginning of the craziness, 2025, as we've been seeing. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles handy, we're in Acts chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 1. And again, we are running late because we were down last night, but we got that up, except the main server, which I had to change to a different area. So that finally came up on Friday morning, praise his name. So, but everything else was still cattywampus. And then last night, so I was working on that. So yeah, Acts chapter 20, verse 1 is where we're going to start today. So again, we're running late. All right, it says, and after the uproar was ceased, because of all the Ephesians yelling about, you know, the goddess Diana and all that stuff, it says, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go to, into Macedonia. I'm going to read verse 2 as well. Sorry about that, Anthony. And it says, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. Now, well, I'm just going to put it in the room here from the sketches from the life of Paul because of, so we've got quite a bit that we can, we're going to go over today. Hopefully, I don't know. And let's see if it'll fit. Oh, it does. Good. All right, this is what it says. And this is Life, Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 196, paragraph 1. And again, I thank you all for your patience because of all the internet snafus, or attacks, actually. You know, like Sister Minnie was mentioning in prayer, that I think Sister Janisa was as well. We're always under attack, but sometimes the enemy of souls just tries to stop our church services. And so, but here it says, the work of the gospel had advanced despite all their opposition. Amen. Despite all the attacks. Amen. So from every quarter, there came accounts of the spread of the new doctrine by which Jews were released from their distinctive observances and Gentiles admitted to share equal privileges as children of Abraham. The success attending the preaching of this doctrine, which with all their hatred, they could not controvert. And then she says, this stung the Jews into madness. Think about this and look around now. Some of us have seen this in our own families. I remember when my wife and I left the Catholic Church. At first, you know, they try to use the... And I don't blame this for this at all. You know, I don't hate them. I love them dearly. I pray for them every night. Well, every time I pray, so three times a day minimum, like, because we learned that from Daniel, the prophet Daniel. And so they didn't understand what they were doing. You know, and so I don't hold it against them in any way, shape, or form. I would have done the same thing if I was, you know, a non-believer, I guess. But, yeah, and then when we, 10 years later, when we unlearned Catholicism, we found out about the law of God, and we started keeping it and understood what the real mark of the beast was, because I never really touched on it for those 10 years. I always thought it was the barcode. But I never said that or never made a track about that or anything because I couldn't lock it down. And there's a reason I couldn't lock it down, because that's not the mark. I won't put it in, you know, I won't write a sermon or a study or a track or a video unless I can lock it down. And I got hundreds of studies I ain't locked down yet. And so... And the reason I thought it was the barcode is because of the barcode being based on 3 sixes, because you can invert them to 3 nines. And it's just, I get into computers, for those of you that wonder. So I know all about that kind of tech. But it made no sense to me, because I understood what Revelation said. It was the numbers of a man's name. It didn't say that was the mark. It said it was his name. It was a mark of loyalty. And then after I found out what the real mark is, you know, we understood, oh, yeah, so the 666 is how they show their loyalty to the political monster called the Roman Catholic Church, or the Holy See, as they call it. Talk about blasphemy. But, you know, because that's a direct hit on our God, who is the only one that sees everything. So, but yeah, when we left the church, of course, loved ones around us got very, very upset. And then when we started keeping Sabbath, and this was what shocked me. Seventh-day Adventists started hating us because we wouldn't join with them. I mean, we tried when we first found out about the Sabbath. We went to a bunch of church services. It was about an hour away, so we didn't go every week. And the car I had was unreliable. So we were able to go for, I think, 6 or 7 months or so. After that 6 or 7 months, we saw enough to know that, yeah, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is Roman Catholic. And this was 30 years ago. Now it's off the chart. I got a Roman SDA page on sdaapostasy.org to prove it. I mean, they even send tithing to the Pope now. So, but yeah, we saw it back then and we just gave up. I mean, they were carving pumpkins, making cutouts of Santa Claus and, you know, all these pagan festivals and the bunny, the Easter bunny stuff. We tried to share, but they didn't want to hear it. And so, but yeah, that shocked me because they just hated us because we thought what they were doing was wrong and we tried to show. And, but that's part and parcel to being a believer in Christ. He said they're going to hate you because they hated him first. Because think about it, all the Jews and all the early Christians, they kept Sabbath, all of them, regardless of what Rome says. Because if it was true, if they really did start keeping the Sunday holy when Jesus resurrected, why, 3 centuries later, they had to pass a law, the first Sunday law, March 7th, 321 A.D., under Constantine, when the Bishop of Rome conned him into saying, hey, let's get the pagans to come to church. So let's change the Sabbath to Sunday, because that's the day they worship on, because they worship the sun. So if we change our Sabbath to Sunday, we'll get them, we'll be able to talk to them and get them to become Christians. They fell for it. But not everybody. Yeah, amen. And they even call the Pope Holy Father. And there's only one verse in the Bible that uses that term, and that's when Jesus is praying for us and the apostles back then, and he mentions his Father in heaven by calling him Holy Father in John 17:11. So amen to that. So it's going to sting. It's going to sting for those around you and those you love. And we've all gone through it, every single solitary one of us, I would assume, except maybe those that were raised, because we've been around decades now, you know, 3 decades. And so I would imagine there are some young people in here that were raised in this belief, even though we weren't calling ourselves SDR back then, you know, we do now. So, but it still stings when you think about friends, loved ones, co-workers and stuff like that. But anyway, she goes on to say that Paul, in his preaching at Corinth, presented the same arguments which he urged so forcibly in his epistles. His strong statement, there was neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, was regarded by his enemies as daring blasphemy. They determined that his voice should be silenced. While he was under the protection of the Roman authorities, it might not be prudent to molest him. Yeah, because they were cowards anyway. But they would have their revenge as soon as the ship had left the shore. It would not be a difficult matter to bribe captain or sailors to do any deed of violence. Upon receiving warning of the plot, Paul decided to change his course and go round by Macedonia, accompanied by a sufficient number of brethren to protect him. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. The days are coming, we're going to have to deal with sticky situations like this, and we got to get somewhere, and the Lord moves us not to go in that way or just go this way or our discernment is going to be blessed, especially once we have the latter rain upon us. As a matter of fact, some of us have already been blessed in areas where we now understand when we look back and see, why did that door close? I don't get it. Why was I unable to do that this day where I had to go here? And then, bam, you look back and you go, wow, it was so much more blessed for us to go over this way instead. Because our Father, he does stuff out of left field. We've seen him do that so many times. We're praying about this, 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 and that. And we're expecting it to happen this way, that way, or wherever. And then out of left field, he answers the prayer perfectly, but in a way we never contemplated. He's just amazing. He's just so mighty. And on top of being the most mighty God that ever, that can exist, because all the other gods are just false. They're not real. They're all, you know, demons. You know, and then Satan himself, the dying god of this world. They're all going to die soon anyway. But not only is he so mighty, and he all the things, you know, that are seen and unseen that he created through his son, he's so gentle on top of it. He's, you know, the ultimate definition of the gentle giant. I mean, he bends down to answer some little tiny, what we would think, minuscule little prayers. Or the whoppers at the same time, too. Sorry, I keep hitting the mic. And stop talking with my hands. And so, but yeah, he is just so the ultimate father. You know, he's just the ultimate father. So going on, his plan, you know, Paul's plan, his plan to reach Jerusalem by the Passover had to be given up. But he hoped to be there at Pentecost. And a lot of the people that push feast days say, well, there you go. He was keeping the feast days after the cross. No, he wasn't. Paul didn't have internet like we do. And he didn't have TV. And he didn't have cell phones and ways to, you know, like big stadiums. Well, they had the Colosseum, obviously. Not a place a Christian wants to frequent regardless, you know. But, you know, the only way that he can share with big crowds is to go to these places where the big crowds were going to be. And, you know, the Jews would always gather on the feast days. So going on. And I got a page on the website all about the feast days and how we're not supposed to keep them. Because if you keep them now, you're blaspheming. Because Jesus literally said it is finished. If you say it's not, you're calling Christ a liar. On the cross. He said that on the cross. Right when he was ready to die. It is finished. The temple veil even ripped. They couldn't even keep the feast days anymore. So, and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So going on. An overruling providence permitted the apostle to be delayed on this occasion. Ain't that something? Like today, we were delayed 30, 35 minutes or something. I'm thinking 40. And maybe somebody came in today that needed to hear the truth that never would have made it in here in time. I don't know. That's or like on WTPR, because we never, I don't know who's on WTPR. I just know how many. That's it. And so maybe if somebody's on there that's hearing all this truth for the first time, praise God. She goes on to say that an overruling providence permitted the apostle to be delayed on this occasion, for had he been present at the Passover, he would have been accused of instigating a riot and massacre, which was caused by the pretensions of an Egyptian impostor claiming to be the Messiah. Pretty neat, huh? Even back then, we got people out there calling themselves Jesus Christ to this day. I actually did a video on it. So there's it's just amazing. Many false prophets, too, on top of that. And a lot of people kind of wonder, says, well, where are all the prophets? Well, you got to understand how to define a prophet. There's two ways to define a prophet in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the prophet will have these two main abilities. He can understand, or she can understand, because you can be a woman can be a prophetess. You know, we all know about Ellen White. We all know about Joel chapter 2. So the prophet's going to be able to understand prophecy as well as understand doctrine. Why doctrine? Well, that's how the Bible went from 5 books to 66 books. Moses, the first real, you know, prophet, if you will, was given the first 5 books. And then the Bible went from 5 to 66 books by people prophesying as to what the Lord would have them learn this or learn that. You know, it's like, what is it, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 or something. In regards to line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The only way to understand doctrine is to verify it with the Scriptures. And so what would happen is someone would come up to the leaders of the faith back then, thousands of years ago, and tell the Lord just told me that we got to do this. Or the Lord just told me we got to do that. Right? And so the leaders would do a study, and they would find out if it would contradict that which was written in the first 5 books. If it didn't, it was in the Bible. It was put in the Bible. Thank you, Brother Anthony. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And that's how we study our Bibles. If it contradicts anywhere in the Scripture, it's either false doctrine or just simple fanaticism or false prophecy. And that's how the Bible went from 5 to 66 books. If someone came up and presented something that contradicted anything Moses wrote or Isaiah wrote or anybody else, it was put down as false doctrine. It was never mentioned again. Today, they'll keep pushing it. The fanatics will keep pushing it today. But it's over. The candlestick only had 66 items on it in the holy place. Not the most holy, but in the holy place. When you walk in, you look to the left, there's the candlestick. That represents the scriptures, the light of truth, as does the showbread on the right side as it's being preached, because we're eating showbread right now. That's what happens on Sabbath, right? That's why they would always change the showbread every Sabbath. And which I can understand how some preachers out there need to have buy sermons. Let the Holy Spirit give you the sermons. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. There's so many people out there that say the Apocrypha should be in the Bible. Well, if that's true, then we've got to tear down that candlestick, because the candlestick says there's only 66 items. 39 and 27, for the 39 for the Old Testament, 27 for the New. And it's amazing how there's 39 on one side of the candlestick and 27 on the other. But you have to count the branch in the middle and the knops on it, but you can't count them on the right. And you read from right to left, because that's how the Hebrews, the Jews did it back then, from right to left. Got a whole video about it. This is how you define, like today. So why did Jesus say in Matthew 24:11 that we're going to be a bunch of false prophets in our day? Well, it's not so much, and there are a bunch out there, that claim that this is going to happen tomorrow or that's going to happen tomorrow, and they all fail. I mean, look at the guys like Jack Van Impe or what was the guy that wrote Late Great Planet Earth? He just died, and it's too late for him now. You can't pray for him anymore. He wrote Late Great Planet Earth, and he declared it in 1995, all the homosexuals will be wiped off the planet. God will take them out. And it didn't happen. But yet he's still called a prophet. So there's a lot of guys like that. But the overwhelming majority of these false prophets are the ones that present doctrines that God never said is doctrine. And so they shouldn't be in the Bible. They shouldn't be on pulpits. And how is it there's so many? Well, they're all out there saying that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday without a single verse from Genesis to Revelation. So they're all false prophets. And they don't even know it. They were taught by the ultimate false prophet, the Pope. So, Hal Lindsey, that's the guy. He just died a couple, 3 weeks ago or something like that. But all too often, brothers and sisters, just like what you see with Paul or Jesus or the apostles, every time you go in to do some work, the enemy sends somebody in right behind us and try to mess it up. It happened again in the Philippines, and praise God that, Pastor Elvin was already moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the Philippines before these people came over and try to confuse, and they did confuse some of the brethren, but there was Alvin again right behind him. And so the Lord took care of that. Everything was blessed and handled. And it's not going to end. They're going to still keep doing it like they do it to this day. But all too often, our plans to do the work are delayed or stopped entirely in some areas, like we see just happen to Paul here. But we need to understand that if we truly are abiding in Christ, His will supersedes our will. If our plans are changed or stopped, it's only because our Lord, Savior, and King knows ahead of us. He knows what's ahead of us on every path. And so He prevents us from doing things so as to protect us, just as He did for Paul back then. And so, if like in the coming days when we can't buy and sell and we can't even meet online, somehow, some way, we're going to gather. We'll still do it. So I'm going to read verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Acts 20. And it says, and again, it just never ends. Paul had to deal with the haters in his day, and so do we in our day. Check it out. And their abode, and there, because he in Macedonia, in Greece, it says, there he, Paul, abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him to Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Artocurus, Secundus, and Gaius, and Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychius and Trophimus. How would you like to name our kids that today? It's amazing how the names have changed. So, and then it says verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came on to them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And as we know, like I said earlier, Paul didn't keep the feast days. The context here is that Luke, the inspired author of the book of Acts, is using the feast of unleavened bread as a way to set the timing of Paul's journey. I mean, we could still do that to this day and say, okay, I'll see you around the time, you know, like Christmas time. I'll see you then. That doesn't mean we're keeping Christmas, because none of us do. Because we know it's the biggest pagan holiday of the year, second only. Well, actually, Easter's worse if you think about it, because that one's just blatant. If it really was about the death and resurrection of Christ, why is Easter's date change every year? Well, ask a pagan priest or a Roman Catholic priest, and they'll tell you the exact same answer. The reason the date changes every year is because Easter is based on the first full moon of spring. The following Sunday is Easter. That's paganism. And billions of Christians believe it's Christian. They baptized Pan. They baptized all the pagan gods. All right, verse 7 and 8. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. This is one of my favorite verses that I have on the website about Is Sunday the Sabbath? Because this was one of the first ones that they were trying to use to try to get me to... Because many people, the Sunday keepers, they use this passage to validate their Sunday Sabbath. Strangely enough, the new Seventh-day Adventist study Bibles, I kid you not, we found out about this a few years ago, actually cross-reference to this verse from an Old Testament verse that speaks of the true Sabbath of the Creator God. Their embrace of paganism is that deep now in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Does anybody remember what verse that was? I don't know if it was in Exodus. Was it Exodus chapter 20, verse 4? I hope not. I can't remember. But the SDAs in their Seventh-day Adventist study Bible cross-reference an Old Testament mention of seventh-day Sabbath to Acts 20, verse 7, and claim that this was a Sabbath. But it says first day of the week. I mean, the Sunday keepers teach that we must assume that because Paul broke bread on the first, because this is their excuses to me. They said that Paul broke bread on the first day of the week and preached unto them that same day. Well, then it's got to be a church service. Well, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8 and so on and so forth, you know, creation week, each day begins at sundown and ends at the next sundown. That means the dark part of the day comes first. What I'm getting at here is this meeting, as we just read, was held on the beginning sundown of Sunday, or on what we refer to as Saturday night. The New English Bible even puts it on Saturday night in there, it says in their assembly, in Acts 20, verse 7. But this could be further verified by the mention of the many lights in the upper chamber that I just read. So that being said, are we now to assume that we must hold our church service at night? Or is it a church service because they broke bread? Yeah, I know. Amen to that. Even their own bogus Bibles, it proves they're wrong. They're in error. But is it a church service also because they also say because of bread, breaking of bread? Well, the truth is in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, Acts 2:46 literally says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So if it's a church service because of breaking of bread, then I guess we also have to assume that we should have a church service each and every day because Paul broke bread every day. But notice Acts chapter 20, verse 11. I'm going to jump ahead here, but we're going to go back to it next week probably. Or I don't know, maybe it depends on how quick I get done here. But Acts chapter 20, verse 11 says, when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed, right? Well, since they define this as a church service, using verse 7, as they all do, this must be the fellowship that we must now emulate all the way till the break of day. So, if Acts chapter 20, verse 7 is truly defining it as a church service, as the many false prophets Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, 11, then we have to hold church at night. We have to hold church every night, or every day, and we have to hold church all night till the break of day. Yet nary a single solitary Sunday-keeping church does this, proving they don't even hold to their own creeds. Okay, let me see if I can go to verse 9, 10. Yeah, okay, I'll read verses 9, 10, and 11. And it says this. Actually, let's go to verse 12. All the way to verse 12. Sorry, again, Anthony. Yeah, amen. Breaking bread means they eat it. And so, verses 9 to 12. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus. Eutychus, I guess. Being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. We were talking about this last night, I think, or the night before. And Paul went down. Well, before I go there, this confirms Benny Hinn is bone evil, and he needs to repent. Pray for that man. He's up in years, and he doesn't have a lot of time. Nobody's got a lot of time left on this planet, because Christ is going to be here a lot sooner than people even know. Because Benny Hinn, he also had a child die when he was preaching in Kenya. But unlike the child Paul raised up, Hinn's child stayed dead. Worse yet, it was at Kenya that Benny Hinn supposedly prophesied that Jesus Christ himself would appear before the people on the platform when he was preaching. He even stated he was hoping to film his appearance as well. I actually have him on audio. Let me see if it'll play out here. Hope I got to hit control. No, it goes over here now. Let's just see. I'm just going to play number one. Let's see if it plays out. I don't know which one it was. It was one or two, because I got two of them here. But let's see. I'll crank it up here.
Hello, this is Nicholas. I'm coming out of the east.
Let me get past my comments here, because it's 3 minutes. Let me see what...
Well, I'm hearing it now more and more and more. Since we preachers cannot go there, Jesus is just going there himself. Since we preachers are not permitted to go in, he's just showing up himself. You know, the scripture said...
He's talking about Muslims that were seeing Jesus appear in the desert, just like the prophecy said, right? So I should have started it earlier, but I don't know where my comments end, so I'll continue now.
It's clearly that the Lord did appear, did he not? For 40 days, isn't that right? And the scripture says he even appeared to Paul. Now, we are always thinking, well, Jesus can't really preach the gospel. Who told you that? He was the first one to preach the gospel.
Okay, hold on a little something. Let me see. We got to get to the Kenya thing here.
Ride off his horse and preach the gospel to him. Lashley, forget it. Lashley, it's gone.
Okay, let me go back and click the second link then, because that one must be the one.
Hello. This is...
Now, you have known me for many years. But I'm telling you right now, okay, things I had said years and years and years and years ago, I believe... Hear this. I believe...
Now, you can all hear this, right? Let me check the chat. You can all hear it, right? Yay, nay, maybe so? Is that... if I'm playing it, it's wasting time here. Okay, good. All right, so let me... Oh, that's the wrong one. I think that's... Okay, here it is. All right.
That Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically. In meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection, and he's about to appear before his second coming. You know, a prophet has sent me a word through my wife, right?
Okay, this prophet he's referring to, I can't remember the woman's name, but she was outed, I don't know how many times, as a false prophet. She told him that Jesus was going to appear at his meetings. But check this out. This is how he says it.
Yeah. And she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. I'm expecting to see, I'm telling you, that I feel it's going to happen. I'm careful in how I'm saying it now because I know the people in Kenya are listening. I know deep in my soul something supernatural is going to happen in Nairobi, Kenya. I feel that. I may very well come back, and you and Jen are coming. Paul and Jen are coming to Nairobi with me. But Paul, we may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform.
Okay, there you have it. Right, and of course that never happened. And neither did anything miraculous happen because he didn't raise that kid from the dead. That kid stayed dead. Right there in Kenya. Yeah, they have to keep that. You know, they always do that. The Pentecostals do it too. Well, he's more or less Pentecostal. But yeah, they do that with the music in the background to try to, you know, schmooze the people. That's because Satan uses music. That's why you got music in all your grocery stores and elevators. And Satan's the angel of music. He's got musical instruments built in his body. And this is why, even in the SDA church, like Sister White said, it's going to be a bedlam of noise. Have you seen some of the videos I posted recently on the blog of Seventh-day Adventists twerking on camera? Yeah, young girls twerking on camera to this rock music. And it's just disgusting what's going on. The end is here. We're seeing it with our own eyes. And so, verse 10, I didn't read verse 10 yet. Yeah, because the kid was dead. He was taken up dead. And then it says, and Paul went down, verse 10, Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Let me put something in the room here. Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 197, paragraph 1. All right. Again, Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 197, paragraph 1. It says, on the broad sill of a window whose shutters had been thrown open sat a young man, Eutychus. In his perilous position, he sank into a deep slumber and at last fell from his seat into the court below. So the court below would obviously have like flagstones or bricks or something to walk on because it was a court. So this discourse was interrupted, or the discourse was interrupted. All was alarm and confusion. The youth was taken up dead, and many gathered about him with cries and mourning. But Paul, passing through the affrighted company, clasped him in his arms and sent up an earnest prayer that God would restore the dead to life. The prayer was granted. Above the sound of mourning and lamentation, the apostle's voice was heard saying, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. With rejoicing, yet in deep humility at the signal manifestation of God's power and mercy, the believers again assembled in the upper chamber. They partook of the communion, and then Paul continued his discourse till the dawn of day. Eutychus was now fully restored, and they brought him into the congregation and were not a little comforted. It's kind of weird the way they talked back then. They were not a little comforted. 2,000 years ago, the Old English, the Old English of the King James translators. But they were very excited, is what we would say today, right? Oh, and by the way, next Sabbath is communion in this church family. And so please get your grape juice and your unleavened bread and be ready to partake. Some of you just got baptized at the last camp meeting, so this will be your first communion, I think. So praise God. So let's read verses 11 and 12, and then we can close out. It says, when he therefore was come up again, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So praise the Lord. Next week we'll pick it up at verse 13. So hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll drop the mic.